Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen from Paragon City and Millennium City, this is your host Pogoman. It's time for Paragon Radio. It's 6:34 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America, on the planet Earth. We're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite of a high altitude of 6.2 feet above sea level. You do the math on that one. Okay, it's just me right now. Mad Vikings running a little late, so we're just going to get to the news, and then we'll get into our usual banter once Mad Viking gets here, and I'm sure he has quite the story to tell. First, I want to apologize for the late publishing of the broadcasting for the show tonight. Everybody knows my tooth has been bothering me really badly. It has bothered me like hell this weekend. I finally found a dentist, and they were going to try and get me in today, and then somehow their service double booked like crazy for today. As a matter of fact, they open up at 9 o'clock in the morning. They couldn't even get back to me until almost 11 o'clock today. That's how busy they were. And I have an appointment tomorrow at 1:30, so knock on wood. Keep your fingers crossed for me that they can take care of this for me, because this is just getting ridiculous. I thought that they were going to be able to get me in today, and I would just be laid out, you know, from Novocaine and whatever they were going to do to me. I figured it would be an afternoon appointment anyway, but yeah, for tomorrow. Anyway, enough of that. You don't want to hear about anything. You don't want to hear about all that stuff. You just want to hear the news. Let's get right to it. No successor game updates. Interesting. We're going to wait for Mad Viking to show up. Massivelyoverpowered.com. Interesting article. I'm going to read in a little bit, but I'm just going to get to the news. From Superhero Hype, Netflix's Cowboy Bebop, they did a short, and it shows a team dealing with a bounty. So Cowboy Bebop is coming to Netflix a month from now, but fans can already see the protagonist in action. The streaming platform just debuted a standalone short to whet your appetites. The teaser is called The Lost Session. It features John Cho's Spike Spiegel, Mustafa Shakir's Jet Black, and Daniela Panetta's Faye Valentine. The trio deal with a new bounty, not only because that's their regular job, but also because they need to pay their bills. What follows is an action-packed 2 minutes where fans discover more about Spiegel, especially that the former member of the Red Dragon crime syndicate loves noodles. While everything appears to go right and they get their hands on the prey, the two men mess up right before the end. An actual trailer will debut in 1 week. But for now, you can watch a Cowboy Bebop short. Per the official description, Cowboy Bebop is an action-packed space western about three bounty hunters, a.k.a. cowboys, all trying to outrun the past. As different as they are deadly, Spike Spiegel, played by John Cho, Jet Black, played by Mustafa Shakir, and Faye Valentine, played by Daniela Panetta, form a scrappy, snarky crew ready to hunt down the solar system's most dangerous criminals for the right price. But they can only kick and clip their way out of so many scuffles before their past finally catch up with them. Cowboy Bebop debuts on Netflix on November 19th. Now I'm wondering, there was a kid on the show. I can't remember the kid's name. I wonder if they're going to have the kid on the show. Why can't I remember the kid, the redheaded kid? He was like the computer hacker. I wonder if he's going to be, if the kid's going to be on the show. Oh, we'll have to wait and see. All right, next bit of news. Okay, welcome to Rack City. Welcome to Raccoon City. See, Mad's not here. I can't talk. Welcome to Raccoon City has a clip and posters faithfully adapt Resident Evil, because this is a reboot of Resident Evil. In a little more than a month, Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City will reboot. See, like I said, the fan favorite horror franchise. Unlike in the past, it seems that fans should expect a faithful take on the first two Resident Evil games. At least, that's what director Johannes Roberts Robert's, I don't know how you say his last name, is suggesting in a recently released promotional video for the movie. This time, the film will be almost a direct adaptation. Welcome to Raccoon City is a very faithful adaptation of the Resident Evil game, he said. This is where it all started. This is an origin story where we meet all the iconic characters from the games. Every frame has details to the game, from the burger the trucker's eating to the actual truck design. We built the mansion and police station to the spec of the game. This is a horror movie created with love of the game. That's awesome. In addition to directing, Robert also wrote the script. The official synopsis reads, Returning to the origins of the massively popular Resident Evil franchise, fan and filmmaker Johannes Roberts brings the game to life for a whole new generation of fans. In Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, once the booming home of pharmaceutical giant Umbrella Corporation, Raccoon City is now a dying Midwestern town. The company's exodus left the city a wasteland with great evil brewing below the surface. When that evil is unleashed, a group of survivors must work together to uncover the truth behind Umbrella and make it through the night. Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, will haunt theaters on November 24th. Okay. So we're getting in a month two excellent movies. Okay, so The Flash Season 8 has a trailer, and it offers a glimpse at Armageddon. And everything's happening next month. So next month, The Flash is racing back to the CW for Season 8. However, Grant Gustin's Barry Allen already has his work cut out for him. The alien conqueror Despero, played by Tony Curran, has arrived on Earth, and he's giving Barry an ultimatum. In 7 days, everything and everyone the Flash loves will die. It's the end of the world if Barry does nothing. That's why Barry is calling in his Justice League adjacent super friends for the first time since Crisis on Infinite Earths. The CW has released its first trailer for The Flash, Season 8, which begins with the 5-part Armageddon crossover event. That's why Batwoman slash Ryan Wilder, played by Leslie, and Mia Queen slash Green Arrow, played by Catherine McNamara, and Ryan Choi, the Atom, played by Osric Chow, are here to lend Barry a hand. The original Atom, Ray Palmer, played by Brandon Routh, is also returning for the story, and he's the only one who notices that Barry's been bulking up. And here's the official description from the CW. A powerful alien threat arrives on Earth under mysterious circumstances, and Barry, Grant Gustin, Iris, Candace Patton, and the rest of Team Flash are pushed to their limits in a desperate battle to save the world. But with time running out and the fate of humanity at stake, Flash and his companions will also need to enlist the help of some old friends if the forces of good are to prevail. And the Flash Season 8 premieres on November 16th on the CW. So at least this year, a lot of the CW shows are starting in the fall, not like last year where none of them started till winter, and they went till the summer. So it's a short little break between last season to this season. Sorry, I'm just checking to see. Matt, if you're listening to the show, whenever you get here, I'm just going to bring you right on. We could just start BSing like we always do. Okay, I'm just going to keep doing the news until he gets here, and then, you know, we're doing things out of order tonight, but you're getting the news right away. Okay, so I don't know if you guys heard about this. So Why the Last Man has been canceled after season one. There's not going to be season two, and new details have emerged. Okay, so Why the Last Man showrunner Eliza Clark dropped a bombshell over the weekend when she announced that the series would not be getting a second season on FX on Hulu. The news was a crushing blow to fans of Brian K. Vaughan and P.A. Guerrero's original comic, many of whom waited more than 10 years for an adaptation to materialize. But it sounds like FX's decision had nothing to do with viewership numbers. A new piece from The Hollywood Reporter sheds new light on Why the Last Man's cancellation. as THR notes, the series cancellation was somewhat out of character for an FX show. The network rarely cancels its scripted shows and usually announces final seasons well in advance. But in the case of Y, there were still 3 episodes left in season 1 by the time they deliver the axe. And apparently the series' fate boiled down to financial concerns. The show's road to live action wasn't an easy one. Over a 5-year period, the project hit one speed bump after another, including a showrunner change and multiple recastings that necessitated several reshoots. Last year's COVID-19 outbreak postponed filming. Oh, for God's sake, are you kidding me? Even further, sorry about where I'm at, because of all the delays, FX needed to extend the options of its cast members, which added up even though the series came in under the budget of $8.5 million per episode. Last month, Clark pitched FX a second season of the show, but in the end, executives declined to pay the $3 million it would have cost to extend its cast options. These options expired on October 15th, and the network needed to make a decision about the series' future by then. Regardless, Clark still hasn't given up hope on continuing York Brown's story. THR sources claim that HBO Max is the best chance that Y has for a potential second season. Okay. That's because HBO Max's parent company, Warner Media, owns DC Comics, whose Vertigo imprint published the comic from 2002 to 2008. Okay, so it's leaving FX, but, well, it's up. So if you're a fan of the show, I haven't watched it yet. So there's hope. Let's see what HBO Max does. It's up to them. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. I'm doing my show. Sorry about that. Unprofessionalism at its finest. Sorry for that. Okay, hold on, I just got to take care of an AFK situation. Okay. Okay, Chris Pratt has announces that that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 they've started production. Now it's time to fire up the Milano's engines because the Guardians are ready for their next adventure. Earlier today, Chris Pratt confirmed that Marvel has finally started production on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Pratt shared the good news in a video posted on Conan O'Brien's Team Coco Twitter account. The video was primarily a plug for a new Parks and Recreation podcast hosted by Rob Lowe and Alan Yang. But Pratt also used the opportunity to celebrate his first day on the set of the next Guardians film. Additionally, he showed off Peter Quill's familiar mutton chops and facial hair combo. And it's a special message from @PrattPrattPratt and his sick-ass mutton chops. Okay. So it goes, if Guardians 3 is officially in a way, that means that the cast and crew are also working on the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which is expected to hit Disney Plus at the end of next year. And will tie into the events of the upcoming film. Additionally, Volume 3 will introduce Will Poulter's Adam Warlock into the MCU. However, Poulter's character isn't the only new addition to the cast, as James Gunn recently confirmed on Twitter. Okay, first James Gunn says, dozens of roles have been cast in GOTG Vol 3. He goes, somebody said Cooper Hood says, I wonder if there are other Guardian 3 characters/roles already cast that have just yet to be reported on, like Poulter, Warlock, and Twitter.com, James Gunn's that. And he responded that. And then he goes, Gunn has indicated that while Pratt is reported to the set, the cameras aren't rolling just yet. James Gunn reports, despite stories to the contrary, we haven't started shooting yet, but we're pretty close. Then someone asked, how much has the story changed since the first draft? I'm assuming the original Disney tweet blow-up changed it some, but COVID probably changed it a lot since so many other Marvel movies that have come out since, and storylines might have impacted the script. James Gunn replied, hasn't changed at all due to any of that. Okay. James Gunn. Then somebody else asked, what was Chris Pratt talking about in that video? And James Gunn says, Chris is on set and we're rehearsing and doing camera tests and stuff. So it's his quote-unquote first day. Like it was my quote-unquote first day many months ago. But actual shooting is a while off. By the way, I didn't even know about this video when I first posted this. Additionally, Gunn confirmed that filming has begun for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, the upcoming indoor roller coaster attraction currently being built at Walt Disney World's Epcot. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 hits theaters, hopefully, on May 5th, 2023. Oh, wait. I'm getting news here. This could be the news we're waiting for. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Now I can introduce him. He's mad. He's a Viking. He's my co-host. He's just a little late, but it's okay. Because he was supposed to be very late tonight, but it's all right. He's Mad Viking.
I swear, I can honestly say that not only my brother, but three others at Home Depot were ready to imitate Fry from Futurama and go, I demand that you take my money.
I told everybody you would have a very interesting story. I didn't tell everybody why you were going to be late. I just said, when he gets here, he's going to have a pretty interesting story. Do you want to?
Okay.
I told everybody why this is what I told everybody. I explained my quick dentist story, why I didn't promote the show till today. You know, I was like, the dentist, and I was thinking I was going to go today, but now it's tomorrow. And that's all I said. But I said, I'm sure Matt's going to have a very interesting story of why he's late. Trust me on this one. So
all right.
If you want to...
Here we go. Well, the washing machine to clean our clothes died.
Yes.
So...
Okay, yeah.
And my brother's the type of person, you know, he wants it fixed or taken care of or if have to replace
right
there and then. So, we go to Home Depot.
Yes.
And
how far away is this Home Depot from you guys?
From my house, about 27, 28 miles.
You see, okay, I want to say we're spoiled. Our Home Depot is like 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes away from us. It's across the highway, literally across the highway at the shopping center across the highway. So maybe 5 minutes away. When you said
that,
I was like, oh, I feel so bad.
Yeah. Now, me and my brother, we're there. We get there like 5:15, 5:20. Around there.
Okay. Right.
It, for starters, it took all the way to 6:15, no correction, 6 o'clock.
Right.
Before we finally got somebody.
Jeez, to help you?
Yes. My
Good
brother's
Lord.
Going like, I can't believe this. I'm going like, me, this is normal. And there's
See,
three others that... There's three others, same boat. Yeah, they're going like, yeah. I started cracking jokes. I'm like, this is like getting to the point of Futurama. I demand that you take my money. They finally find someone in appliances. And my brother was going to be first. There was no question about it. There could have been a quadriplegic with Down syndrome, and no. not to mention we were there the longest, and everyone's going like, yeah, they were there the longest. But anyway, he goes, I want this washing machine. Okay.
Right.
We don't have that. But, yeah, we don't carry stuff in the building. No, I bought stuff here before. You carry stuff in the before. All we got is this model. Okay, I'll take that model. So now we wait a little bit because got to go in the back, you know. Then
right,
comes out,
right.
And we don't have that model. All right, can we order it? Yes. Where are we shipping it to? How about if we ship it to here? No, we're not allowed to ship it to the store. If you wanted to learn how to curse the Norwegian, that would have been the time period. As I'm just going, I'm not saying a word. He, you know, he's taking time off of a job that he had to do. You know, I'm worrying about driving 28 miles with a washing machine on top of an SUV in the dark going uphill. And just to hear all of this. And yeah, he's now, you know, while he's working, he's, like I said, teaching people how to curse the Norwegian. And now probably also going to make sure every time he texts, he's like, do you have it in the building?
And he's saying it's slow so they can... That's funny.
Hey, you know, it,
see,
it,
now,
it,
if that
it
was...
Wasn't,
no, no,
it
I'm, just,
wasn't,
I'm
yeah.
laughing. Go ahead, go ahead. No, no, I'm laughing because if it was my family, my stepdad would, like, wait 2 weeks to do something, right? My mom
yeah.
would be aggravated. I would find out a week later, like, why the fuck aren't we doing anything? I say, Jesus fucking Christ, let's go to Home Depot. It's 5 minutes away. Okay. Then me, my mom, my stepbrother, we go up there to buy something. It's like, yeah, we got to clean everything out. Okay, go ahead. It's like, well, what the fuck did you want to do? Just let it sit there? It's broken.
The thing is, the other three people, they were also
right.
looking for a washing machine or a washer and dryer. And
right.
It was... I took a look back. I'm going like, oh, God, we just started a parade.
Right. But the funny thing is, like, when this actually happened, is we went and we asked our stepdad, we said, okay, we're going. We have to go now. You measure the dimensions of the washing machine we have. Okay. So we get to Home Depot. Well, what? Did you measure the dimensions? Not yet. I'll do it in a few. No, do it now. All right, just give me a minute. Oh, my God. Just get up and measure it. How hard is this to do? And my mom's yelling at him like, oh, my God, we've been at Home Depot for 20 minutes already. So basically we've been gone half an hour. You can't do this simple thing to measure three dimensions?
No, it's not hard.
It's like there's nothing blocking it. You take the tape measure from the floor to the top, from the back to the thing, and across. And then he's just giving us numbers, right? Like inches. And then he's giving us weird numbers. It's like, okay, you realize two of those, it's like inches, and then one was in centimeters. But he's not telling us height, length, width, like which one's which. And it's like, which one is it? Length, width, height? Yes. Oh, my God, why are you being difficult? It's like, I swear, the older he gets, the younger he acts. It's like, okay, measure from top to bottom. He goes, I already did. No, 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 do it again. This way we have the numbers.
No. I was doing my brother. He does that. That he had it all set up. He knew the numbers. He's all set.
Okay,
he's going like, I want this.
Yeah. We were just double checking. Because he goes, no, your numbers are wrong. It's like, then tell us your numbers. But it's like, okay, we're putting money down on the machine. Oh, well, when's it going to be in? Well, we're getting a washer and a dryer. Oh, that's what it was. We were just going to get a – he just wanted to get a washer. I'm like, no, you need both. Why don't you guys measure for a dryer? Me and Mom are like, why don't you measure for a dryer? So now he has to measure for the dryer. Well, it should be the same size. No, no. Oh, my God, just measure the dryer. And right away, like in 2 seconds, it's like you didn't measure because you answered so fast. You know, it's like you just went from why do we need a dryer to just giving us the same numbers from the washing machine. Measure the dryer. Why is it pulling teeth with him? I feel your pain. So finally, we got the numbers. And actually, it's a pretty cool one. But I wish you well. I feel your pain. I'm sorry. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're
it's
here.
Like, all I knew is if we did get it, like I said, I'm going up hills on mountains. You know the Catskills. And
it'll be a start on an SUV
before a rainstorm.
Oh God.
So you guess what I'm doing? I'm putting on my old man Florida baseball cap, and I'm going 25. That's how I drive. The dryer, the washing machine's alive at 25. I don't care who's behind me. Honk all the hell you want. I'm from Brooklyn and I lived in Florida. What does this mean? I've seen both sides of the story.
Yeah. The Lord. Okay, really quickly, roll call. Let's do roll call really quickly. And City of Heroes on the Excelsior server, joining us on the steps of City Hall in beautiful downtown Atlas Park. Myself, Mad Viking, Hell Lord Satan, and coming up at 8 p.m. on Dawn Radio, DJ Texas. And in the sister city of Millennium City, in the studios of WCOC, the ever vigilant, the ever popular Alan and Silver Egret are hanging out with me.
And if they were listening, I am looking and I'm kind of disappointed. I do not see Fry. You know, I demand that you take my money.
That's right. I guess everybody's participating in the individual Halloween trick-or-treating events because things have picked up. You know, the trick-or-treat event is going on like crazy in Champions and also in City of Heroes. The Blood Moon event is going on. While that's going on, I do want to bring this up really quickly. They announced it yesterday. At noon, at 12:30, costume contest coming up next Friday.
Oh, that's why the phrase is "shut up and take my money."
That's what it is. Yeah, shut up and take my money. Right. That's what it is. Right. Okay. So next Friday, ready for this one? It's one we've talked about for a while. It's a squad up costume contest. So it's almost Halloween. And what's trick-or-treating without friends? That's why Champions, this month's official costume contest, is for you and your friends. The only theme is that you have to appear in a group. Your group can be from 2 to 5 people total, and that your costumes should match each other or tie into each other in some way. We'll be judging the whole group as one. So everyone in each group will win the same prize should they win. We anticipate the winner's platform being a bit crowded this time. We'll be doing a live stream costume contest on October 29th, judged by some of the developers that work on Champions Online. Head to the Powerhouse Theater to participate. That's the Powerhouse Theater in Wren Center, of course. Judging begins at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, or server time, same thing. And the contest begins at 4, so that's 6:30 Eastern time. Contest begins 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch you can watch the show live on the Champions Online Facebook page or on the Twitch channel. There will be 3 winners and 10 runner-ups. Here's how the prizes break down. For the top 3, they will win a contest special item voucher, a contest heroic item voucher, contest honorable item voucher, and 2 dev tokens, a unique title, Best Friends. And 10 honorable mentions will win 2 contest honorable item vouchers and 2 dev tokens. And everyone who participates will receive the title Squatty. Oh, yeah, I want that one.
Yeesh. Oh, God.
The heroic voucher will offer you a choice of a rare lockbox costume. A choice of rare lockbox costumes from the past, while the honorable voucher will offer you a choice of rare individual costume pieces from lockboxes of the past. We'll see you at the Powerhouse Theater, champions. Okay, this is what I proposed. I have an Hour Man costume from the Justice Society of America. If anybody wants in with me, just make some JSA costumes and we're in like Flynn. Or we could do something else. If you have another idea, I'm cool. I could do something else. So if you have a better idea, just let me know ahead of time. So,
well,
and of course, this week
is going to be interesting because Rain last Friday returned on air.
Yeah, I saw that. I heard that. I couldn't log in, but I was busy, but I saw that she had logged in. I was like, oh, I missed that.
And she says she may do it again this Friday, but she's not one for hosting costume contests.
It's not this Friday. It's next Friday. No, it is this Friday. What am I saying? It is this Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Halloween is Sunday. Holy crap. It's God. Holy shit. Halloween is just, it's good thing I got to try my costume on. I got a Jedi costume, so.
Now, probably what's going to happen while she's on the air, I'm going to be, man on the field reporter is like, all right, we're over here in the Powerhouse Theater, and it looks like
that's
we got bumper to traffic.
Man, that Powerhouse is going to be crap. I don't know how the hell they're going to do the judging with that one. Because usually they say one for square. They have everybody bunch up. Good work. Don't forget also this week, the Death Lords are out and about this week. And this week's special thing, five times you have to defeat the Death Lords. Once a day, five times you get a Blood Moon costume piece of spooky tights. I've done it three times today. I did it this morning, my third time. I got to do it tomorrow and Wednesday. Hopefully I can do it before I have to go to the dentist tomorrow. Or I'll be doing it late tomorrow night for my fourth one, then Wednesday night. I'll do it for my fifth one. And then the last week of the Blood Moon kicks in, which will be fighting Taco Fans himself. Tacos all around, everybody. Ooh, of course, the Night of the Dead. And you know what I'm upset? I wanted to do this year. We never get to schedule it. I wanted to do the thing where we all get together and work on the PvP badges, where we take turns being the wolves and the hunters. Like the one year, a couple years ago, everybody did that in the group, and I just sat back. I didn't participate in that. And I didn't know it was like, no, it was planned out to just like, you know, take turns doing it. I was like, oh. I didn't know. I was just tired of it. And Silver Grant and Dawn Razor going, tacos. Oh, you know we got to plan something for that Tuesday because Taco Tuesday.
I was wondering when that was going to be mentioned.
No, you know I was going to do it. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. I know.
AFK. Okay, and of course, over in... City of Heroes, the usual, the trick-or-treating. I know we still got to do a
haunted house.
I have it here. Right. I got Dr. Kane's House of Horror. I have the notes for it. I know we were going to do one so we could get the dude to come out. We're going to get all the special badges. I want to say Whiplash, but that's not it. Black Whip. I found there's a special way to get him to come out. And then at the end, when you're in the graveyard, you're supposed to get 100 zombies to come out. Everybody's supposed to fight 100 zombies and just ignore the abomination until you get the 100 zombies and then pile up on them.
We'll see what happens.
And... I'm going to post it now before I forget, so it's not a last-second thing. Coming up the weekend of November 11th is my extralife.org charity gaming marathon weekend. I'm doing it from the 11th to the 14th. Right now I've raised $525. Come on, guys, $475. Last year we raised $1,000. Remember, right now we raised $50. And that was, okay, this is weird. I know $50 was given. Is this here the last donation that was given?
Was Softy?
Oh, wait, hold. Yeah, hold on. It's going back. Wait a minute. This is weird. It's not. I don't know what's going on here. It's. Hold on. Something's not right here. Oh, wait. Hold on. I might be looking at this wrong. I was looking at donations given over the years. So show me every donation I've given over the years. Yes, thank you. Donate. Yes. So Softy gave. Right. So she gave 50. Right. So after we started the new contest, this is the new one. Whatever money, the most money I get for whichever game, City of Heroes or Champions, that's the game I'm going to play. Right now, she's in the lead, $50. For City of Heroes.
Yep.
So it looks like 4 days I'm playing, you know, I'm level 40 on Pokemon, and I just left it there because, like, well, for 4 days, I'm sure I can get him to, you know, in 24 hours, I could get him up to level 50, so I don't want to get him too far up. So, you know, City of Heroes, here's your chance to... you know, make your mark. You know, this is different from the contest we had back in July for the
right.
Family Feud game. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which City of Heroes won the last second anyway. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post in the coalition. I got 2 hours sleep last night. I woke up in the middle of the night with my tooth in pain. I cannot fall asleep the rest of the day. I cannot fall. Even if I use so much Ambisol, I cannot fall asleep the rest of the day. Even the afternoon. Even like I usually take a nap before the show, like a refresher nap. Even if it's for an hour, I wind up falling asleep. I can fall asleep.
Eesh.
I'm telling you, man, I'm going to sleep good tonight, I hope. Okay, I'm going to put my link in broadcast. And... over in Champions, I'm just going to post in Dawn Radio. Okay, guys. Start donating. You got a couple of weeks. You could even donate. Well, I guess you could donate that weekend, too. You could donate up until New Year's Eve. But you know what I noticed? People who promise they're going to donate after the event never donate. So there you go. You can donate. You know, any amount you want to, it's cool. No problem taking whatever you want to donate.
There
I'm
you
good
go.
With it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely cool with it. Just donate whatever you want to. And, of course, you know, I didn't do it tonight. I'm not doing the Twitch thing tonight because I'm on two different channels, two different games. So which one do I do? But later this week, I'm going to start practicing the Twitch channel again. I'm going to put it back up just to get some practice in with that because I haven't used it in a while. This year has been a bum year. This year was just an awful year for me. You know, started the COVID, and it just carried over. Sorry to say. But
hey.
So I want to bring something up. This came to my attention. It was posted the other day on Massively Overpowered. And from Elliot Lefebvre, I hope I'm saying the last name right. It's an article from Into the Superverse. Has Homecoming torched the plans of City of Heroes successors? Okay. And I find it interesting because, of course... you know, you've been following. So I'm going to just read. I'm going to start reading it and see, you know, how far we go. Okay, ready? So anyone who has followed this person's career for a while is probably aware of the fact that I love City of Heroes. This is not a revelation or surprise. I was writing about the game from pretty early on in their career, up to the point that we finally waved goodbye to the title. This is a pretty big deal in my life. This also means that I have connections to the various people involved in the Plan Z titles, like City of Titans and Ship of Heroes, games pitched and developed specifically with the intent of filling the space that COH left behind when it shut down. Except, well, that was a story back when the game did shut down. At this point, City of Heroes Homecoming is a thing, along with an assortment of other rogue servers with smaller populations. And while this is pretty unambiguously a good thing for those of us who like the game, and even just general community, I haven't forgotten the majority of our crew running around Paragon City, for example, I wonder if it might be a problem for these titles where the plan was and always has been to recreate the no longer very defunct game. Let's be clear about two things. First and foremost, if it needs to be said, this is coming from a place of love rather than contempt. My place within the COH community alone means that I'm naturally inclined to like the people trying to bring the game back in whatever form it takes. And I personally met the people behind most of the Plan Z titles and had lovely conversations with them. Second, though, it's important to also note that these titles do still bear a certain amount of scrutiny just by the very nature of our job. The City of Titans was kickstarted to the tune of nearly, this is what they said, 700,000? Good Lord. For example, while it's not one of the more egregious Kickstarter crash and burn projects out there, it's still in the general wheelhouse of scenarios wherein a bunch of people gave a company money on the promise of building a game. Okay, now, picture Sovereign Reign. So where's the game? And more importantly, what do the future for these titles look like? I feel like an instructive case to look at here is, oddly, Champions Online.
Really?
I read part of this right. Obviously, CO is not a project created in the wake of what happened to COH. It is definitely a project that failed to capitalize on the moment in 2012 when that occurred, but failing to hit the zeitgeist. It's kind of the entire theme of CL. I agree with that. So let's not dwell on that, but let's also note that the game was developed specifically by some of the people who originally made COH. The parts of the team that left with Cryptic instead of staying behind with NCSoft's Paragon Studios. If anyone knows how to make what amounts to more COH, it would have been this team. But it is nothing like COH. All right, maybe that strikes you as a bit hyperbolic. Both games feature superheroes and a robust costume creator and bland, bulky men with stupid hats serving as the iconic face of the game. That part is pretty universal. But in terms of actual gameplay, CO is wildly different from COH with its free build option, as well as its build and spend power mechanics, its gear sets, and all the other changes it offers based on the same principles. The two titles have a big gulf between them in execution. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Because gave Champions a skeleton crew for the longest time. This we knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And we said it's not Cryptic being the company overall for the crew that's working on Champions. It's not Champions' fault. It's the overall company that's running Champions. Okay? It's
because they took a lot of people off of Champions and other games and moved them to Star Trek and Neverwinter.
Exactly, yeah. It's just basically, we don't know why. And trust me, when all the Marvel movies hit, every time a Marvel movie hit, we said, oh my God, why isn't there a Champions Online commercial? They should have done something with Champions Online. Instead of just putting a little pack out, I remember when Iron Fist came out and they put a martial arts package out. Yeah, but you know what? You should have done a commercial. I remember World of Warcraft doing all these commercials in the movie theater. You could have done a Champions Online. Like City of Heroes, they should have done something back in the day. Now, I'm saying the same thing about Champions Online.
Mr. PL. Yes. Mr. PL.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. You could have done something with these games. Exactly. Okay. Okay, but well, okay. Let's see. In some ways, this might have been a weakness for the game when it first launched, because people who really enjoyed COH weren't immediately sure of what they were looking at with CO. The bigger problem, of course, was that free creation was an unbalanced and unclear mess. But that point is that regardless of which one you like better, you aren't choosing between these two games based solely on their content. It's not just because COH has CO beaten that department, although it does. It's because the two games have very different gameplay approaches that you couldn't mistake for one another. Especially now, if you're playing CO, you're doing so because it provides a gameplay experience that you simply can't get anywhere else. It allows you to do certain things that are either difficult or impossible to replicate elsewhere. And it's here that we start running into problems. Because as near as I could tell, the goals of the various plans in games are always to make what amounted to COH with a few coats of paint and some refinement, which,
AFK,
you know...
You're AFK.
That's where I was. Okay, I'm good. Okay, so here we start running into problems when I go AFK. Because as near as I could tell, the goals of the various Plan Z games were always to make what amounted to COH with a few coats of paint and some refinement, which, you know, is also what all the rogue servers are currently offering, with some powers and ideas that weren't previously implemented.
Stretching tentacles.
Yeah, that's right. Stretching tentacles. Context can be a hell of a drug, like stretching tentacles. Exactly. Now... when these games were initially being designed, this was, in fact, an eminently logical design decision to make in the first place. After all, these games were made to address the gigantic COH-shaped hole in the marketplace. Making a game that was basically COH with some tweaks and a more modern graphical engine was the logical design goal, with the added benefit that you didn't need to spend quite as much time getting weighed down by some of the design details that the prior game had already figured out. But that was then, and this is now. And now, the COH-shaped hole has been filled by COH itself. The game has come back in what is just shy of an official capacity. And we're still hearing rumors that some official status is going to eventually happen from the title. This seems bizarre to me, but honestly, if NCSoft gets something for its trouble, it's functionally free money and doesn't even have to worry about upkeep. So what exactly is the marketing pitch now for the games that wanted to be COH with slight tweaks? Because we've seen how well that business model works for other games promising to be X with tweaks, and those were usually much bigger projects with much bigger budgets and reaches. The Plan Z titles were always going to be niche games, and that's fine. A niche game is totally all right, so long as it can keep the staff paid and the server running. The only real problem comes when trying to overfill the niche. Too many games struggling to occupy the same niche leads to some of them going dark because they're trying to fulfill a minor need that's already been satisfied. Sure, the cityscape of City of Titans and Ship of Heroes looks great. Well, maybe not so much updated. The player models for these games look nicely updated. The games look relatively attractive. They're also new and somewhat shaky projects when compared to COH. And, well, you can actually just log in right now and play COH if you want to. It's a lot harder to convince people that you should jump ship from the established market leader when you're doing 90% of what the existing game does with only a few tweaks. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but it's hard not to be. I like the idea of these projects. I want them to do well, and I want good things to happen to these people behind them. But right now, I look at these titles, and what I see are some good ideas and tweaks that are trying to serve as a replacement for something freely available, and that's never a good sign. Okay.
Not to mention, you should not reboot.
Considering two of the games rebooted already, you know, after 8.5 years of, you know, working on it and doing updates and realizing that's not the model that you wanted. Okay, here's the deal about Heroes and Villains. Heroes and Villains were originally part of City of Titans. They had a philosophical difference. with City of Titans, and here are the villains split off from City of Titans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, after 8.5 years, what, they realized philosophically they were wrong this whole time? Is that what I'm hearing? After 8.5 years, you realize, oh my God, we were wrong this whole time, City of Titans was right?
And lost a good drinking game?
And we lost a real, yes, exactly. We lost a really awesome drinking game in the process. Yeah, for old time's sake. And I want to say, Freaky Ghost. And Panda Monica have joined us on the Steps of City Hall in City of Heroes game that we were discussing. And there's General Adam M. Frankenstein, level 3. I think he's just hanging out trying to figure out what the hell we're doing up here.
Nope, that's Hell Lord Satan.
Oh, that is Hell Lord Satan. Okay. It looked like he was going, what the hell's going on up here? He could have played along. All right, so he's all right. Hell Lord Satan is altered to Adam M. Frankenstein. Now I have that song in my head. Yes, I said Adam. Yes, I said that. Yes.
Mm.
The part of Hell Lord Satan will now be played by Adam M. Frankenstein. Well, we shouldn't come near me. I'm holding my torch.
Put the torch back. No, put the candle back.
Put the candle back. Put the candle back. Okay, hold on. I got to read these articles here. Okay, last year we covered this immensely about Ruby Rose.
Oh, yes, I remember reading this.
All right, she's come to light, and then there's a rebuttal, and then there's a few, there's like three-part story here. Remember, this is all in superhero hype, so I got to read this. So Ruby Rose slams Peter Roth and Batwoman production for set conditions. Now it's the set conditions. First, it was an injury. Then it was the latex allergy. Now it's set conditions. Ruby, just shut up already, okay? We were over it. You were done. You came back. Just stop it. Ruby Rose's stint as Batwoman didn't go as expected for the actress, nor the fans. After making her Arrowverse debut as Kate Kane in the Elseworlds crossover, Rose left Batwoman 2 days after the series concluded its first season in May of 2020. She suffered a severe injury that occurred while filming, which required surgery. Rose didn't initially indicate that the injury was the primary reason for leaving the show. This morning, however, hold on, let's see what day this was. Okay, this is last Wednesday. So last Wednesday, however, she revealed a number of reasons for her departure. But first, she leveled some charges against the chairman and CEO of Warner Brothers Television Studios, Peter Roth. Enough is enough, wrote Rose on her Instagram stories. I'm going to tell the whole world what really happened on that set. I will come for you so what happened to me never happens to another person again. And so I can finally take back my life and the truth. Shame on you, Peter Roth. You are first up. You are chapter one. Not sure if you left after getting promoted to the highest position because you couldn't stop making young women steam your pants around your crotch while you were still wearing said pants. Or if you left after putting a private investigator on me who you fired as soon as the report didn't fit your narrative. Either way, when it comes to you, there's already an army waiting for you.
Oh, boy.
Goodness gracious. Next, she addressed the nature of her injury. Well, initially, it was said that she suffered a back injury. Rose mentioned a broken neck, rib, and a tumor in her stories. How the hell did she get a fucking tumor from working on this show? What? She also shared
an
X-ray and video. Yes, a tumor. It's a tumor. How did she get a tumor? Working on hold on. To everyone who said I was too stiff on Batwoman, imagine going back to work 10 days after this. 10 days! Or the whole crew and cast would be fired, and I'd let everyone down because Peter Roth said he wouldn't recast, and I just lost the studio millions by getting injured on the set. That is be the one who caused so many people their jobs, instead of spending half a day to rewrite me out for a few weeks to heal. She then shared her version of what happened before 2019 San Diego Comic-Con. As many fans recall, the actress withdrew from the Batwoman panel a few hours before it went down on Saturday, July 20th. That time, she explained her absence due to her schedule, which saw her busy filming an, quote-unquote, ambitious episode. Imagine having to take a pay cut to play a passion project and being so excited about Comic-Con, and then being told they would not adjust the schedule so I could attend, but then saying, "We won't announce it. You have to," she wrote. And me putting my foot down and saying, "Why must I be the face of this?" She claimed that the producers asked her to cover the scar on her neck at that time. That's why she reposted the surgery video today. Next up, Rose stated that she would never return to Batwoman. She claimed that she never quit before accusing the producers of having, quote-unquote, ruined Kate Kane and, quote-unquote, destroyed Batwoman. She then focused on some on-set incidents and took on showrunner Caroline Dries. A crew member got third-degree burns over his whole body and was given no therapy after witnessing his skin fall off his face. But I was the only one who sent him flowers and cards, and then we're told we had to do a sex scene without a minute to process. We lost two stunt doubles. I got cut in the face so close to my eye in a stunt I could have been blind. A woman was left quadriplegic, and they tried to blame it on her being on her phone. So much so CW didn't even help her to start with because they needed to investigate, so she had to do a GoFundMe. She's a PA. They work via phones. Her accident occurred because our show refused to shut down when everyone else did because of COVID. Caroline Dries has no heart and wanted us to finish the season throughout the pandemic, and I told her it was a bad idea. I told her everyone was too distracted, constantly checking COVID updates, checking on friends, and seeing Riverdale, The Flash, and Supergirl shut down already. I felt something bad would happen, and Dries maybe visited the set four times in a year. Unheard of. Finally, Rose accused her fellow actor, Doug Ray Scott, of misconduct on set. Scott portrayed Kate's father, Jacob Kane, before leaving the show at the end of the second season. Doug Ray hurt a female stunt double. He yelled like a little bitch at women and was a nightmare. He left when he wanted and arrived when he wanted. He abused women, and in turn, as the lead of a show, I sent an email out asking for a no-yelling policy. They declined. At publication time, neither the CW nor the other people mentioned have answered Rose's accusations. Well, hold on. Because later that day, Warner Brothers responds to Ruby Rose, claims she was fired from Batwoman. So earlier today, former Batwoman star Ruby Rose leveled a series of explosive accusations against her former show and the CEO of Warner Brothers Television Studios, Peter Roth. Additionally, Rose singled out former cast member Doug Ray Scott for misconduct. Rose also called out Batwoman showrunner Caroline Dries for her response to a crew member's injury. Now, via the rap, Warner Brothers is firing back at Rose with an allegation of its own. The revisionist history that Ruby Rose is now sharing online aimed at the producers, the cast and crew, the network, and the studio. The truth is that Warner Brothers Television had decided not to exercise its option to engage Ruby for season two of Batwoman based on multiple complaints about workplace behavior that were extensively reviewed and handled privately out of respect for all concerned. This will almost certainly get another response from Rose, but we still don't know why Rose decided to break her silence today. There's no known litigation between the former star and the studio. Rose also struck a more conciliatory tone earlier this year when she endorsed Wallace Day as the show's new Kate Kane. "I'm sorry I didn't congratulate Wallace Day yesterday," Rose wrote on Instagram in March. "I knew about the casting beforehand and didn't know when it aired, so I forgot to. But I'm still for her. I feel great. I have nothing but good vibes." Day portrayed a surgically altered Kate Kane in Batwoman Season 2. But at the moment, there are no plans to bring Kate back to the show in Season 3. Javissa Leslie currently stars in the series as Ryan Wilder, the second Batwoman. Rose has also been gracious about Leslie's role on the show in previous statements. Okay.
AFK, as in you.
Hold on. Okay, then I have one more.
All right.
And this one comes from Batwoman's Doug Ray Scott, denies Ruby Rose's claims of abuse. Doug Ray Scott is siding with Warner Brothers Television in the wake of former Batwoman star Ruby Rose's bombshell accusations against the series producers. Rose aimed most of her allegations at then WBTV chief Peter Roth and Batwoman showrunner Carolyn Dries. However, the actress saved some of her most damning remarks for Scott, who played her character's father, Jacob Kane, in the show's first two seasons. Warner Brothers subsequently released a statement denying Rose's account. The studio also claimed to have fired Rose from the series after others raised concerns over her on-set conduct. Now, Scott has issued a statement of his own via The Wrap. As Warner Brothers Television has stated, they decided not to exercise the option to engage Ruby for season two of Batwoman based on multiple complaints about her workplace behavior, said Scott. I absolutely and completely refute the defamatory and damaging claims made against me by her. They are entirely made up and never happened. Rose previously claimed that Scott was a nightmare to work with on Batwoman's first season. She specifically alleged that he, quote-unquote, hurt a female stunt double and, quote-unquote, yelled like a little bitch at women during filming. Rose also claimed that Scott left and arrived on the set whenever he wanted to, implying that he held up the series production schedule. Although Kate Kane was written out of Batwoman after Rose's departure, Scott continued playing her father in season two. But earlier this year, the studio confirmed that he isn't coming back for season three, which premiered on the CW last week, or 2 weeks ago now. So there you go.
I'm beginning to think Batwoman, the new crow, it's cursed.
Well, I don't think it's cursed. I just think Ruby Rose is just... Jeez, you left the show. You don't need this publicity anymore. Damn, lady, just stop it. You left. You don't. Well, I don't know what the point of that was. Like, she left the show, and I thought that was her last year. It wasn't her, so she's been gone for over a year and a half. Sorry, I'm just taking a drink. And, oh, by the way, let me refresh everybody's memory that I'm not on the show anymore and why.
Hey.
Good Lord. Really? Why don't you write a tell-all book and just be done with it? Next, we're going to hear that the conditions in her trailer were not adequate. And, you know, catering wasn't up to snuff, and you know, the makeup department used an inadequate, you know, I don't know. Good Lord.
Hey.
I want to bring something up I was not aware of, and for some reason I feel like it wasn't publicized enough. This past Saturday was Wonder Woman Day on Cartoon Network.
Huh.
And DC Comics, I guess. Wonder Woman turned 80. She looks good for 80. You know, according to the Justice League, the Snyder Cut movie, she's actually 5,000. She looks good for 5,000. It's actually funny. There's a line in there between Cyborg and Flash. He goes, so do you think she goes for younger guys? And one of them goes, she's 5,000 years old. Every guy is a younger guy to her.
Hey.
So there you go. I know Teen Titans Go, they did a special episode where they got invited to the DC Comics Wonder Woman party.
Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Woman was in it. She saves the day, and as she saves the day, they played the theme song from the 70s TV show.
Well, you had.
I know, but it's awesome. She's trapped in a box. She explodes out of the box. She's staying on top of it, and she's glowing, and the Teen Titans like, and they start playing the theme song. Like, that's awesome. So they played it while she's saving the day in the Teen Titans Go thing. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, I think, let's see. I know the Brave and the Bold did that when they had a Wonder Woman appearance. A couple of others that I just can't remember. And well, I was about to say Sky High. No, that all that she did is Sky. It's like, what do you think I am, Wonder Woman?
Right. Speaking of Wonder Woman, I have a, and we're talking about women making complaints. Gal Gadot reflects
right.
on a negative experience. She reflects on a negative experience with Josh Whedon.
Oh boy!
And this is last Tuesday. I know everybody's got a complaint. Well, I know she really didn't like the fact that Josh Whedon suddenly made her the romantic interest of Batman and Super and half the Justice League for no reason. I mean, there was no buildup to it. So here we go. Okay, so although most of the past year's Justice League headlines have revolved around Ray Fisher's beef with Josh Whedon and the DC execs who allegedly enabled his quote-unquote unprofessional conduct after he took over as the film's director, the cyborg actor isn't the only one who claims to have experienced mistreatment on the set. One of Fisher's most noteworthy supporters during the WarnerMedia investigation was Gal Gadot, who previously recalled her own clashes with Whedon while Justice League was still in production. Now, Gadot has shared more about these experiences in a new interview with Elle. Gadot initially discussed her problems with Whedon in an interview with the LA Times published late last year, but it wasn't until THR published its own expose this past spring that we got a better idea of what happened. Apparently, Whedon threatened Gadot's career after the Wonder Woman actress raised concerns about new lines she wrote for her character. And it sounds like this reaction rocked Gadot to the core. "Oh, I was shaking trees as soon as it happened," said Gadot. "And I must say that the heads of Warner Brothers, they took care of it, going back to the sense of righteousness that I have. You're dizzy because you can't believe this was just said to you. And if he says it to me, then obviously he says it to many other people. I just did what I felt like I had to do, and it was to tell people that it's not okay." Unfortunately, Gadot didn't reveal exactly how the studio addressed the situation, but she did speculate if her gender had something to do with why Whedon treated her that way he did. "I would have done the same thing, I think, if I was a man," added Gadot. "Would he tell me what he told me had I been a man? I don't know. We'll never know, but my sense of justice is very strong. I was shocked by the way that he spoke to me. But whatever it's done, water under the bridge." Now, there you go. And you know what? I think she's right. I think Ray Fisher is right, because the Justice League movie sucked when Josh Whedon did it. If you haven't seen it, go see the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. That thing was fucking awesome. They should have left it alone. They should have just waited for Snyder to finish it. Okay. A lot of news came out last Tuesday. How about this one? News about the Eternals. Initial Eternals critical reactions offer mostly the highest of praise. So, with its massive ensemble cast of characters, mostly new to the general public, art house director eschewing special effects where she could, and stories seemingly unrelated to the Avengers adventures, Eternals seemed like a bigger-than-usual risk for Marvel Studios. Judging by the Eternals' critical reactions coming out of the junket press and trades at the premiere Monday night, however, it paid off. Save a mini-controversy involving Variety spoiling certain details, which we will not reveal here, thank God, director Chloe Zhao and the cast remain critical darlings. Tessa Smith at MamasGeeky.com summed up the general response in her praise. Holy crap! Eternals is a freaking masterpiece, packed with adrenaline right from the start, but also filled with lots of heart and humor. So many MCU firsts. Your mind will be blown. Nods to the comics, but a totally unique story. Those end credits are game changers. Hashtag Eternals. Okay. Drew Taylor, the Raps Drew Taylor expanded a bit on that thought. Hashtag Eternals breaks new ground for the MCU and not in all the ways you're expecting. Alternating between beautiful and baffling, epic and intimate. It's a movie of huge ideas, where the sentiment often matters more than anything. Going on in the story, I can't wait to see it again. Fandango says, Marvel hashtag Eternals is spectacularly weird and rich with a new MCU mythology that makes it feel separate from everything else. It's honestly refreshing. There's a bittersweetness to the film that you feel in its sunset shots. A definite Chloe Zhao touch. It is soulful and thoughtful. Okay, Scott Menzel of We Live Entertainment offered a most surprising comparison, but one meant as a compliment. Eternals is a Marvel's version of Zack Snyder's Justice League. Okay. A film that builds upon a cast of unknown characters and does so with great success. Chloe Zhao's direction is superb, easily one of the best-looking Marvel films of all time. Insane post-credit scene 2, hashtag Eternals. And THR's Brian Davids notes that the director's voice remains strong. Hashtag Eternals is perhaps the most ambitious Marvel movie ever made, but the highest compliment I could pay. It is that it's not a Marvel movie, it's a Chloe Zhao movie. Not everyone gushed quite as much, but the reservations generally came across as minor. Jenna Bush, who used to co-host a show with Stan Lee, found it a bit too much. Lots of great humor and some really sweet moments. Fun mid and after credit scenes. I like so much of it, but it was too much to put into one film. Brian Tyree Henry and Kumail Nanjiani are wonderful. Could they have a spinoff, please? Hashtag Eternals. Oh, okay, 2 of 2. Okay, she has. Perry Nemiroff also felt it too dense, but still liked it. Hashtag Eternals is dense, and I felt the weight of the exposition often. Movies at its best when the focus is on the Eternals recreating their family. The humor of it and the passion when they fight for each other and the things they love. Also, Angelina Jolie in the MCU is everything. Okay, and Scott Mendelson at Forbes leaned just barely positive, suggesting Marvel is coasting on their laurels. Hashtag Eternals, flirts with being, quote-unquote, just a superhero movie, but barely gets by on a scale. A few affable actors and some eventual intrigue. At its best, it almost plays like Marvel playing in the DCEU sandbox, but coasting on comparatively generic superhero archetypes. Well, pardon us. No major reactions found by superhero hype came off as anything less than leaning positive, but perhaps the funniest reaction was the BBC taking an affectionate swipe at the film's production design. The hashtag Eternals no Gallifreyan. How brilliant! Doctor Who on BBC America. Okay, reportedly the embargo on full reviews will lift on Sunday, with non-junket press actually seeing the film Monday. So while not everyone weighed in yet, this feels like a great start.
Okay.
All right, well. I have a bunch of other stories I could go on about, but we have less than 10 minutes left.
Yep.
Trying to see here what else. Now, I have another story here. Hold on. I'm just checking this other story here that actually came out yesterday that Eternals reviews are in, and they're decidedly mixed. So these might be the other ones. I'm trying to see. Let me read this one.
Right.
I'll try. Okay. Earlier this week, Eternals screened for junket press, who nearly all enthusiastically raved about the film on social media. Today, the embargo lifted on full Eternals reviews, and the results differ. As of publication time, the Rotten Tomatoes score held at 73%. But even that doesn't tell the full story because most of the positive reviews come with reservations. The highest profile positive review comes from David Rooney in The Hollywood Reporter, but he qualifies it with the depth of feeling helps counter the choppy storytelling in the new tangent in the MCU narrative. Okay, Oliver Jones at The Observer writes, for once in a movie like this, ocean waves and cloudscapes carry as much weight as the ultra-choreographed battles between intergalactic interlopers. In a less qualified rave, Robert Abel at The Wrap notes that the film is both a Marvel superhero epic as massively conceived as they come, and questionably director Chloe Zhao's version of one as attentive to beauty and intimacy as it is to the expected fate of all life concerns. CNN's Brian Lowry, meanwhile, thinks the movie's structural flaws offset its stunning visuals and strong performances. The altogether negative reviews seem to come from writers who aren't generally Marvel fans to begin with. Okay, there you go. You walk out in the depressing realization that you've just seen one of the more interesting movies Marvels will ever make, and hopefully the least interesting one Chloe Zhao will ever make, says the LA Times. Justin Chang, Nicholas Barber, the BBC, it would have been reasonable to expect this black-jawed wonder rather than the grudging appreciation of an efficient workman-like job. Eternals may not be the worst of Marvel movies, but it's undoubtedly the most disappointing. Wow. Brandon Zachary at the more fan-skewing site CBR calls Eternals among the better entries of the MCU, while still complaining that it lands like an unwieldy entry at the superhero genre. Jamie Durack at comicbook.com says, while the story of Eternals is lacking, the visuals are quite stunning, thanks to the work of Zhao. We should note that not every outlet has seen the movie yet, including Superhero Hype. Disney scheduled further screenings for all media in the next few days, which may change the calculus. For now, however, opinions vary greatly. And as yet, those of us at Paragon Radio have not seen it either. And when we do, we will give our spoiler-free review.
Dead.
So there you go. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
And Super Anarchy Girl has joined us.
Mm-hmm.
Staying next to you playing air guitar. Okay. Trying to think. So Halloween is this week.
Right.
I know on if you get the sci-fi channel, I know today is National Chucky Day. They made that up. They're making that a holiday now. Today's National Chucky Day. Well, you know why. They have Chucky's, the series is tomorrow. So tonight,
mm-hmm.
I forget what time it's, they're showing the first two episodes again.
Okay, I got to check the holidays. Do my usual thing on the radio. Let's see. I want to see
first
what
Chucky
if it's
now.
Listed.
Oh, all right, Cult of Chucky is on at 8, and then the first two episodes start from 10 to midnight. But, of course, you know me. Monday Night Raw comes on in a few minutes. I'll be watching that. Count Drango. Oh, okay, he was just passing by. I'm going to say this now. So enjoy... everybody enjoy your Halloween. Have a safe one. If you're at, you know, if you're driving around, watch out for the trick-or-treaters. Watch out for the little kids on Sunday. Oh, you know what I forgot to say?
What?
I'm in a New York State. I'm in a New York group today. You know why?
Yes, the Giants won.
My New York Giants won 25-3. Shocking. I'm sitting there going, they're going to lose. I'm like, holy shit, they won 25. And I watched the whole game. They won 25, my New York Giants. I was celebrating all night last night. 25. Maybe that's why I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited. New York Giants won 25-3 last night. New York Jets, they lost 54-13. Yes, when you're a New York football fan, that's a good day. When you're a New York Giants fan, when the Giants win big, that's their biggest win since 2012, by the way. So when the Giants win big and the Jets lose big, it's a good, it's a beautiful day for New York Giants fans. Oh, I want to say this. Congratulations to Tom Brady. Did you hear about this one? First NFL quarterback to throw for and go over 600 touchdown passes. They're
yes!
saying that
another Marino record gone.
Yes. Well, no, the second closest was Drew Brees at 571.
All right, still, no Dan Marino. Doesn't matter.
Right, another Dan Marino. Yes. But they're saying now if he sticks around for a couple more, because he says he wants to play to like his late 40s, maybe 50. But if he sticks around three more years, he could break 700. All right, to put this in perspective, all right, the 600 thing, 20 NHL players have scored 600 goals. 9 Major League Baseball players in their career have hit 600 home runs. Just to put that in perspective, the number 600. He's the only quarterback to throw 600 touchdown passes. Rob Gronkowski, I don't know how many he's caught, but he has caught the most touchdown passes, and he was out yesterday. And they're saying that there's a whole slew, like a who's who in the NFL, who have caught at least one touchdown pass from him. But remember, he's played 22 seasons. In one season, he got hurt at the end of game one, somewhere in there. So take that into account. So I'm going to say 21 full seasons of playing, he got to 600. So, but congratulations, Tom Brady. Right now, the team only has one loss, and it looks like they could cruise to repeat again. Considering he just got to Tampa last year, they weren't doing so good. They were a last place team, and he took them to a Super Bowl championship. Okay, DJ Texas is coming up in a few minutes on Dawn Radio, Embrace the Dawn. Please don't forget to donate to my extralife.org charity thing. I'm posting that again really quickly. To those people listening and broadcast, just any amount, no amount is too big, no amount is too small. Give what you can. It's for the kids. Remember, if you're playing in COH or Champions, when you donate, just post what game you play for. And whichever amount, whichever game total gets the most amount, that's what the games I'll play for. If it's a tie or if it's close, we'll figure out some system and I will cater the weekend to that. Does that seem fair?
All right. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Okay. So, like I always say, read those comic books, read those superhero novels, watch the superhero TV shows and movies, have a super week, have an awesome Halloween, be safe, watch out for those kids, enjoy the holiday. If you have Netflix, check out two movies, The Babysitter and The Babysitter Killer Queen. The Netflix originals, they're really funny, like that dark black comic, they're really awesome. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking?
Shut up and take my money. No. All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Paragon Radio. We'll be back next week for another episode Monday night on Blog Talk Radio. And stay tuned for Dawn Radio. DJ Texas is coming up. Embrace the Dawn. You guys rock. Without you guys, we would just be talking to each other about things we'd be talking about anyway, but we like to share them with you guys about things you guys like to hear about. And next week I'll have Star Wars news. Don't forget November 12th is going to be Disney Plus Day. I'll have more information about that next week. News about the Star Wars shows. 2022 is going to be a big year for Star Wars. I'm hearing 2023 will be an even bigger, better year for Star Wars TV shows and novels and books, et cetera, et cetera. See you next week, everybody, on Paragon Radio. Stay super. Okay, we're off. We're in the after party.
All right.
Good show. All right, you want to get out of here?
Yeah.
You had a rough afternoon. Good Lord.
And it ain't done yet. It's not until that new washing machine comes around.
Oh, good. Well, you didn't order yet, right? Well, I meant,
no.
Yeah, I meant that ordeal. I meant today, right?
Yeah.
Okie doke. Oh, did you hear about the thing? I didn't mention on the air. Did you hear a thing about on SmackDown between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, well, months ago or last year after the draft, the tag team champions switched brands, and
mm-hmm.
backstage they had a really quick friendly title exchange. Well, this time they decided to do that in the ring.
Right.
Between Becky and Charlotte. Everybody's like, what the fuck? Well, Charlotte decided to be a little bitch about it, threw her title on the ground. Like, I'm the queen, you pick up my title. Well, the female, I can't remember her name now, black hair, the female general manager, didn't take kindly to that, told Charlotte to pick it up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Charlotte eventually picked it up. She goes, I'm the queen, you pick it up. She goes, no, I'm the general manager, you pick it up right now. Because it was just supposed to be a quick 1-2-3 exchange. Right? So
right.
Then she grabs it. Becky tosses it to Charlotte. Charlotte catches it. She drops on the floor saying, now make her pick it up. And they're like, oh my God, you just dropped it on the floor. So Sonya Deville, she's pissed off. Now after this whole thing, right? They're in the back. Becky and Charlotte are screaming at each other. And Becky wouldn't back down. It's gotten to the point now, reports are no one wants to work with Charlotte because she's taken this whole I'm the queen thing too far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she has multiple years left on her contract, and it seems like she wants out of it. But she was just a bit to the point Sonya Deville actually wanted to fight her in the back. Well, Sonya Deville is really an MMA fighter. And I'm laughing because Sonya would have beat the shit out of her. And somebody said that Becky was a hero because she stood up to Charlotte. Because usually, like, Vince McMahon's the one who books these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why does Vince have a hard-on for Charlotte? Because it's always like the four horsewomen who are Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bailey. Or it's Charlotte getting the title all the time.
Couldn't tell you.
So Becky... I know, so Becky's on Raw, and now Charlotte has to deal with Sasha on Friday night. But Charlotte says, I would have been happy to drop the title to Bianca. I'm like, bullshit, you would not have. It's like, really? Because you used a chair against her to get it, to save your title. So how much were you willing to... So I wonder what's going to happen.
Hmm.
So sometime this week, I want to do a Dr. King House of Horror on COH.
I'm all ready.
All right. Well, just keep me updated because tonight I'm going to do some stuff in I just got six. I've been doing the trickery mission in CO.
Right.
I got six guys to go through because today got screwed up with the no sleep in the dentist. But tomorrow, if you want to do it, just let me know.
Okay.
Or Wednesday would be that. Wednesday, you know, Thursday. Let's do it Thursday. We do Thursday?
I was about to say, Thursday should have no problem.
What? Thursday?
Thursday should not have a problem. Short of
okay,
I'm
so
still trying to get a...
washing machine. Yeah, I know. All right. Tell everybody, pass the word on Thursday. I think four of us can do it. Let me check. Hold on. Let me check. Four characters, level 15 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So four of us could do it. All right. Oops. All right. Hold on. Let me head back to Ring Center. Oops. All right, I'm going to log off of Champions for now. All right, then. I will talk to you later. I'm going to get some grub and watch some TV for a bit, and then I'm going to do some missions.
All right.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Well, good luck with the washing machine.
Yes.
Oh, the fun you'll have.
Yes.
All right, then. Good show tonight. Thank you for showing up early, despite all the problems.
I was expecting a case of, no one expects the Spanish. Oh, bugger.
Yeah. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. All right, sir. I will talk to you later. Have a good night with your brother.
All right.
So they don't. So that your Home Depot doesn't deliver at all to homes?
Oh, they do deliver to homes, but my brother wanted it right there.
Just talk to him tonight. Tell him to have him deliver it. It'd be so much easier. All right, that's my 2 cents. We had it delivered. It was so much easier. Trust me. It was easier because when they deliver, they bring it in the house. They take the old one out. You can even have them set it up for you. It's so much. It costs a little bit of money, but it's so much easier. It's less hassle. Trust me, for the extra money, hassle-free, headache-free, trust me on this one. Okay?
And
that's my 2 cents on it. All right. Have a good night. Mull that over. Talk to your brother about that one.
All right.
All right. Have a good night, sir. Talk
night.
To you later.
Goodbye.
All right. Good show tonight. Thank you. Bye. I'm still here. I think I'm still here.